This summer has been hard on the nation's farmers. In the east, the drought has stunted many crops, and unless there's a lot of rain soon, there won't be much of a harvest this year. In the Midwest, the prices for livestock, corn, and beans have dropped dramatically, which could ruin many farmers, some of whom are working land that's been in the family for generations. My guest, Dr. Michael Roseman, is a fourth-generation farmer who raises cattle in Harlan, Iowa. He's also a clinical psychologist whose practice is made up of farmers and their families. They come to him for help in dealing with the uncertainties of today's farm economy. Roseman is also the director of the Sharing Help Awareness United Network. That's an organization that provides support to families who experience an injury or even death due to a farm accident. I asked Michael Roseman to describe the ways that stress tends to show up in farm families.
It does typically follow a pattern. Often, the symptoms begin to show up in the form of increased apprehension and anxiety to begin with. The farmer and other persons in the family may have a foreboding sense that the prices or the crop yields or both aren't going to be sufficient to cover the expenses. Often that anxiety begins to merge into a sense of depression, a sense of almost helplessness in the face of factors that they can't control. We often see problems develop with insomnia, sometimes with psychosomatic outbreak of symptoms that reflect stress. In some instances, persons may withdraw from their usual social endeavors. They may, in some instances, verbalize their own plight to other farmers, but often they don't say very much to persons who are outside of the farming occupation.
Do you see farmers with panic attacks? I mean, does the anxiety get to that level where they really are in this heightened state of anxiety?
Yes, that's actually a common occurrence where a telephone call may trigger a panic reaction for fear that it is a creditor or a banker who is calling to inquire about the farming operation. In some instances, persons become almost paralyzed and unable to check the mailbox for fear that they may find a letter or a notice that they don't wish to receive.
Do you see more drinking, problems with drinking?
That's interesting. We do see more persons turning to alcohol and other substance misuse. Sometimes we see cocaine and amphetamines as the substances that are misused in rural areas and on the farm. And it's interesting why that occurs. They're harder to detect, whereas alcohol shows very obvious signs, and it's easily detectable through breathalyzers and so forth. But cocaine and amphetamines are more difficult to detect, and sometimes they give a farmer who is under stress the kind of boost that he or she thinks they need in order to keep operating the machinery during long hours. So substance abuse does increase. But it is not usually the primary symptom. Mm-hmm. The primary symptom is typically interpersonal discord or anxiety or depression.
As you talk about these problems that farmers have been having, I'm thinking about how different that is from many of the problems that would bring someone to a psychologist's office, many of those problems being a kind of external problem. Maybe you didn't feel that you were loved enough as a child. What you're talking about are really external problems, problems out of people's control.
That is a very keen perception, and it's accurate, because most farmers do not have serious chronic mental health issues. These are typically situational. They're brought about by stresses at the times, usually economic, or in some instances, there may be pressures from lenders and so forth that we'd call social stressors. But we don't see people with psychotic illnesses who are also farming much, because persons with these type of debilitating mental health issues have been sorted out. People with personality issues seldom are engaged in farming. I've yet to see a person with borderline personality disorder who's also farming.
It'd be pretty hard to be a farmer, wouldn't it, with borderline personality disorder?
Well, I would think so.
Yeah. So you're talking about healthy people in crisis, essentially.
Yes, absolutely.
How do you help a farmer, I guess, get over that initial reluctance to seek help, especially seek the help of a psychologist?
It's important that the farmer feel that he or she can talk to someone who understands the operation of the farm. Farmers will talk to other farmers. They will also talk to professionals who understand farming, and I should say ranching, because basically when I refer to farmers, I'm also referring to any person who's in the food production system. It's important for farmers and ranchers to feel that they are understood, and often there is an immediate bond by talking with a psychologist or social worker or psychiatrist who grew up on the farm or who may be living on the farm at the present time. It saves a lot of groundwork, so to speak. It isn't always imperative, but it helps to break down the barriers that in many cases keep people from seeking help.
If you're invited then or go out to a farm, a ranch, to talk to a farmer, we'll say, in crisis, what, you might stand in his field with him or perhaps go someplace on the farm that's quiet and comfortable and familiar?
Yes, we'll do it on his terms. Whatever is going to help that person feel a sense of privacy and maybe allow for conditions to help him verbalize what's troubling him.
Do you find in doing therapy with farmers and ranchers that you then need different kind of metaphors, different kind of language to be able to communicate?
Yes, we do. Sometimes we use the language that is common in the area. You know, we may use a term to identify mother pigs giving birth. We call that farrowing.
Uh-huh.
And when I say, well, you know, how's the farrowing average this spring or this summer? Immediately, the person who's raising hogs knows what's going on, and they know that, you know, I am familiar with that at least. I grew up raising hogs, so it's something I'm comfortable with.
So you can speak this common language.
Yes.
Well, I want to talk some more, but first we have to take a short break. And our guest today on Fresh Air is psychologist and cattle farmer Dr. Michael Roseman. We'll be back after a short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is psychologist and cattle farmer Dr. Michael Roseman. I would think as a psychologist, if you're talking about problems outside of anyone's control at this point, whether it's the farm prices or the weather, that there's really a limit to how much help you can give somebody.
I think it's important to distinguish what are the causes of the problems and who controls them from who has the control over the solutions. While farmers may not have a great deal of control over the causes of the farming disaster, we may have some control over how we respond to it. For example, we still can talk with one another instead of isolating ourselves. We can band together to figure out maybe if we can pool our efforts to keep the farm operation going. It's possible for us in some instances to organize a number of people and to talk about the farm problem, or maybe to write Congress people, or maybe to write a letter that expresses the needs of a number of people to have a better market in the area, or maybe to encourage economic development in the community. These facts or these approaches give hope to persons who otherwise feel that they're unable to control the factors that affect their farming operation.
Does it also give them a sense that they are not alone in this problem?
Very much. Very much so. And that's so important, because when one feels that his problem or her problem is perceived and recognized by others, it helps to break down the sense of isolation, the sense of I'm having to take all this burden by myself. It's important to share the common experience,
mm-hmm.
and that's a bond. So I think that we do not have full understanding from many persons who affect the price of food. For example, many farmers feel frustrated that consumers do not fully recognize the depths of the problem in the farm economy. There's also some perception that maybe certain government officials do not fully appreciate the difficulties with the farm economy. So it is important that farmers band together with others who have a common understanding, a common experience, and may also have some knowledge of what can be done to solve the problem.
Farming is a very dangerous occupation, perhaps one of the most dangerous in the country.
Farming is the most dangerous major occupation in our country.
You lost a foot or part of a foot to a farming accident.
Oh, I caught my foot in an auger in a combine and lost three toes on my right foot. It was a powerful lesson.
What happened?
Well, on July 28, 1990, we were starting to combine oats. There were a few soybeans in the hopper from the previous year, and I wanted to get the soybeans out of the hopper so that the oats that we were combining would be free of any foreign matter, and soybeans in this case would be, you know, foreign matter. So I crawled into the hopper and pushed the remaining soybeans into the auger. I asked my helper to start the auger and unload them, and there was one little dab of beans that were still down by the auger, and I pushed my foot toward them, and it all happened in a second. My foot started going up the auger, and I must have jerked my foot out with great force because I tore the heavy Vibram lug sole from the bottom of my shoe completely off my shoe.
So you...
And then the front of my foot was missing.
So it was instantly just cut off right there?
Right there. I knew instantaneously what was going on and what the message was for me. The very first impression was when I saw the front of my shoe missing, or the remainder of my shoe, I thought, oh, a few stitches and I can keep going. The next instantaneous thought was, uh-oh, it's worse than that. Mm-hmm. And then the next immediate sensation was, oh, God, I know what you're trying to tell me. And I jumped out of the hopper and I was on the ground in 2 seconds. And then it took several weeks and months for the whole lesson to sink in.
What was the lesson that you learned?
There were several. One lesson was to not try to do too much, but to pace myself and to take time to recreate, to slow down, to think clearly and carefully. Another lesson was to examine my motives for doing things. I felt there was a need to get my life centered, to become more spiritual in my commitment, to understand that there is a higher power that has control over me and my livelihood.
You raise cattle now. Did you find that relieve some of the stress of working as a therapist?
It certainly does. I like my cows very much, and they seem to like me. And it's fun to be around cattle. We have an understanding. They don't talk back. We work together. I depend on them. They depend on me. And I like physical labor. I like it when I can throw hay bales. It's a great release for me. It helps me to clear my own mind. I can even meditate while I'm undertaking physical labor or working on the tractor.
Michael Rosman, I want to thank you very much for joining us today on Fresh Air.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Michael Rosman is a cattle farmer and clinical psychologist in Harlan, Iowa.